It's time for another episode of Sink or Swim, the podcast that helps you keep afloat in the sea of business marketing options. Learn what other business owners are doing to keep their businesses thriving and growing, and what almost sunk their ship. Join the voyage as Red Canoe Media owner Will Hanke and his daughter Amber wade through the waters to get you the booty you deserve. Wow, that was a lot of nautical references in three sentences.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Sink or Swim. This is Will Hanke. With me, as always, is my daughter, Amber. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
So you had finals last week.
Yep.
And you're done for a couple weeks. Well, maybe even a month, huh?
Mm-hmm. Close to a month.
And then when you go back, you only have one more class to finish this thing out, right?
Yep.
Whew. Then you're going to be working full time.
Yep. That's the plan.
You're going to do 60 hours a week or so, I guess.
Totally.
I doubt that, right? Well, we're in for a good treat today. We've got Mark Jacob on the call. Mark, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So Mark is with Home Suite Legal, and we're gonna learn a little bit more about that today and some of the really cool stuff that he's doing. So Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself and the 2-minute elevator pitch about Home Suite Legal.
Sure. I'm originally from New York. I moved here about 15 years ago to St. Louis, and I've been practicing real estate law for over a decade now. I saw a need to bring affordable legal services to home buyers and sellers who might not be able to finance legal assistance through traditional methods, and we wanted to help guide them through the maze of contractual and legal issues when they buy or sell a home. And we figured out a way to do that, and now we can offer this service affordable and even free to most home buyers and sellers if they do it properly.
Wow, that sounds awesome. So I have a 3-part question for you. First one is, how long have you been in business? How many employees do you have, and are you doing this full time?
Sure. So we launched Home Suite Legal's website in March of last year. But I've had the law firm now, the Jacob Law Firm, which owns Home Suite Legal. The law firm has been in existence for about, let's say, 8 years now, 9 years almost coming up on. And I've been practicing law for 15. I do this full time. This is part of my real estate practice. I'd say Home Suite Legal is a growing part of the Jacob Law Firm's real estate practice. And what was your third question? Did I miss one?
How many employees do you have?
We have one employee beside myself. We have an office assistant paralegal who helps with our clients, is a friendly face of the firm, and does a lot of our intake for us.
That's awesome. That's probably who we emailed back and forth to get this set up, I would assume.
Yeah, probably.
Good. Very, very polite. Very nice. So what got you into legal and specifically the real estate side of it?
You know, I actually was a litigator for about 4 years, for 2 years in New York and Manhattan, and then for 2 years over here on the east side in Illinois. And then my wife and I got married. We decided to spend a year abroad, which was awesome, and came back without much of a taste for litigation in my mouth anymore, I can tell you. And I was very blessed. I found myself with an offer from a real estate developer who brought me in-house to be a lawyer and to learn about real estate development work. I learned a lot from his attorneys and a lot from him. And
still in New York or?
No, this was after I moved here. I was 2 years in New York, then 2 years living in St. Louis but working in Illinois, and then 1 year out of town, and then 1 year back here in St. Louis. And I was working for the developer, and you know, part of my job was buying houses. That was just part of the job. We were buying things to develop bigger things. And I got into the, you know, into the contracts, some of the standard contracts that are used here in town, and started to think about, you know, what if I had somebody knock on my door and ask me to buy my house? You know, what would that, and I wasn't trained in this, what would that be? What kind of experience would that be for me? And shortly thereafter, I bought my own house, bought my first house. You know, growing up in New York, I was a renter for a very long time, and bought a house. And I went through the process and realized that it was not quite as simple as people had made it out to be. Now, I'm a trained real estate attorney by that point. And even for me, it was not a simple process. Many things happened throughout the course of the transaction that made me uncomfortable. There are many things that happened that even my very experienced real estate agent didn't know the answer to, not because she did anything wrong, but because she's not a trained attorney. And, you know, certain changes in the contract I would have liked to see made, and certain timeline issues that didn't quite comport with the reality of the deal. thereby putting a lot of extra pressure on a buyer when it seemed unnecessary to me. So I got into it from that end, seeing a bad process when I bought my house, and becoming concerned about other people I saw buying houses who were in a far worse position than I was, since they were not trained attorneys.
So I looked at your Home Suite Legal website. We'll talk a little bit more about that too. You have a really nice explainer video out there that explains what's going on. And the funny thing is, I bought my house 10 years ago now, and I can still remember the anxiety around signing things that I had no idea what I was signing.
Of course. I mean, they say that moving is one of the most, maybe the most stressful experience you can go through. I mean, you've been through it, but think about it. You're not just uprooting your life, you're uprooting your family. You might be changing school districts for your kids and all the anxiety that goes along with, will they get along in the new place? You and or your spouse might be starting a new job. There's a lot going on, not to mention your actual stuff. How do you get it from point A to point B? Is it going to get there damaged? Are the movers going to show up and on time? And then somebody drops 100 pages of legal documentation on you and says, just sign here. You know, I mean, that is a position I don't think anyone should be put in.
Agreed. So we like to talk about marketing on this podcast. But before we jump into that real quick, can you give us a little more information specifically on Home Suite Legal, what that service is for you and how you go about doing that?
Yeah, sure. Home Suite Legal, you know, we offer affordable legal protection for home buyers and sellers. What that means is that there are certain basic things we feel that every home buyer and seller should have a legal review of. And we have four price points for different packages people can buy. They start at $699 and they go up to $1,999. And at the very basic level, everybody should have someone look at that contract for them, an attorney, look at that contract for them before they sign it. Because even if it's on a standard form, you know, I can tell you from experience, every standard form was drafted by some attorney for some client. And the client's interest, whether it's a real estate association or some other private organization or private group or seller, they have interests that are not going to be the same as yours. And so you need someone to look at it, make some changes. Sometimes we add a short addendum to help clients out. The second thing we think everyone needs is for someone to look at the inspection notice language before it's submitted. When you get your inspections done, that's the point at which we find conflicts start to develop between the client and their real estate agent, if they have one, or the seller, if it's a for sale by owner. And that conflict revolves around, what are you going to fix? I'm spending all this money to buy this house. You know, look at all these things my inspector found wrong with them. You should fix this. And the reality of the deal is that it's unlikely they'll be able to afford to fix everything. And that becomes a point of contention. It makes people nervous. And just having someone to talk through those issues with to determine what's the right thing to ask for or how much money can we ask for in lieu of these things puts people at ease, I think. And there's one more area. The third area we think is that everyone, and this is the experience that that you brought up, that everyone should have someone look at those closing documents for you. I mean, especially if you have a lender. If you don't have a lender, maybe you're looking at 25 documents to sign that you don't know what they say. That's bad enough. If you have a lender, you're probably looking at 100 documents to sign.
Right.
Then you don't know what they say. So having someone who's experienced, who's seen these documents before, who knows how to find the, you know, the red flags or the common errors that we see people make when they're filling out these forms on behalf of the title company or the lender, you know, can really go away to give you peace of mind that, you know, you're not doing something that's bad for you or bad for your family.
Right, right. So let's talk a little bit about the marketing side of Home Suite Legal. When you first started it, did you have a plan in place as far as marketing the business?
Yeah, you know, I I'm one of these guys who, like, I love business plans. You know, this is just, there's not many people like this who, like, they think they're going to do something and then they decide, let's put it all on paper and figure out how it's going to work. So I happen to be one of those guys. So when I started the law firm, I put a business plan together for a law firm. You know, I don't know a single law firm that has a business plan besides me, you know, but I have one. I put one in place. I got a lender to give me some money, you know, to start the firm up. So when I started Home Suite Legal, I did the same thing. You know, I updated the business plan. I used a great book called Blue Ocean Strategy to help develop the business plan for Home Suite Legal. And we resubmitted that to our lender and got another disbursement to start things up. And part of that was a marketing plan. Now, Traditionally, the way I do marketing is primarily through SEO. You know, we have a good search engine guy that we use. He teaches us how to do a lot of things so we can handle good portions of it in-house. And he takes care of the rest for us. But that takes time, as you know. So there's word of mouth. There's meeting people. And ultimately, there's paid advertising. We haven't quite gotten into that yet. But we do have a Facebook ad being developed right now that we are planning to launch in anticipation of the home buying season coming up in the spring. So that'll be going out, but we haven't spent any money on that yet. And we do blog. We blog, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks, and that helps with the search engine optimization. And it also provides content for us to push out on Facebook to people so they see that we really are answering questions that people have about buying or selling homes.
So what was your first marketing win, and did you do it on purpose, or was it something you stumbled upon?
You know, I would say that most of my marketing wins have been stumbled upon. The very first, when I first opened up my firm, this is a great story. I first opened up my firm and I was having a meeting at Starbucks with somebody, and it wasn't a business meeting. Somebody wanted me to get involved in some sort of local political issue. They knew I was, you know, aware, and I knew some of the local people, and they wanted to talk to me about a local political issue. And so I was in Starbucks waiting for a meeting, and I see a friend of mine there who says, "Hey, Mark, what are you doing now?" And I said, "I actually just opened up my own real estate law firm, you know, and we just started." You know, he goes, "Really? Do you like help people like invest in real estate? And I said, "Yeah, sure, right. Of course." He said, "Well, that's great. I got some money sitting on the sidelines. I'd like to spend and get invested. Let's sign me up today."
Oh, wow.
So I got my first client the day I opened the firm, completely by accident. I was at Starbucks to meet somebody else. And I learned that, and I'm continuing to learn this message. You guys, I'm sure, know it much better than I do, but that people don't know what you do unless you constantly tell them what you do.
Right.
It's just not on their mind. It's not their life. They have their own life they're going through and their own issues and troubles and worries and priorities. And that's not me and my business. That's my priority. And so if I want to let them know what I'm doing, I have to do that. And so in that vein, we actually just developed an e-newsletter that we're going to get out to clients monthly. Because if I have somebody who's buying or selling commercial real estate, they also might be buying or selling a house. If I have somebody who's relocating here and they're a doctor and they want me to look at an employment contract, they're probably also buying a house. And so letting people know what we do constantly is how we believe we're going to get those existing clients and social acquaintances to hire us in a way that maybe they never thought they would need to.
So do you have two different target audiences, really? You have the individual home buyer and then you have investors?
Yeah, I would say that we have, you know, I have what I call the commercial side of the firm, and then I have the residential side of the firm. HomeSuite Legal, you know, quite clearly, you've seen the website, is branded toward people buying and selling homes, and primarily toward buyers because they're the ones at risk. And it's geared toward trying to find a way to offer the service for free, you know, by having them hire us, and then we'll refer them to a real estate agent who will wind up paying me at closing a percentage of their fee, so the client doesn't pay anything in legal fees. So it winds up being free. That's our primary goal on the residential side. On the commercial side of our business, which what we call the Jacob Law Firm, not HomeSuite Legal. So yeah, we're primarily dealing with real estate developers, commercial buyers, sellers, and renters of property, people opening up commercial stores or businesses or doctor's offices and those sorts of things. Yeah, so it's true. We do have two audiences, but they really are the same people. I can tell you from experience over the years that although we are branded separately, you know, for the two websites that have different focuses and for search engine optimization purposes, the truth is that those people wind up becoming the same clients. If somebody hires us to buy or sell a house, and then it turns out that things aren't going well in their business or they need a contract, that they're going to ask me first, because my goal is to be their trusted advisor in no matter what they're doing. And if we've helped them develop real estate, and you know their kid's buying a house, so they want their kid protected. So they're going to turn to me first and say, "Mark, who do I have do that?" And I say, "You know, we actually can handle that ourselves. We'd love to help them."
Awesome. I think it's a smart SEO strategy too to have two separate sites that are really pulling in two different audiences. And plus, you said you're going to get into paid ads, things of that sort. You'll be able to keep those separate, talk to those audiences individually, that kind of stuff. Tell me a little bit more about the, you said you guys started with SEO. So what did you do in the meantime before the SEO kicked in?
Yeah, well, you know, I have to tell you, I'm very blessed that I have an existing business already.
Right.
You know, and so the law firm keeps me busy, and we actually had a pretty busy year. And so because of that, you know, it took me 18 months to develop Home Sweet Legal and get it launched finally. And so when it finally launched, so business doesn't just fall from the sky. You have to advertise. You have to let people know you're there. So I did have a publicist, and he was very helpful in getting me interviews in local newspapers or magazines and, you know, getting me to meet local influencers. And through that, we did wind up getting some exposure, which was great. And we also got great content, you know, for our social media so people could see that we're out there in places on our LinkedIn, on our Facebook. And that was really helpful. The truth is the business that we got in Home Sweet Legal in, you know, the first 6 months was really people calling us, because people were always calling us since we started the Jacob Law Firm. People have always been calling us occasionally to buy or sell a house, whether it's a for sale by owner, or whether it's somebody moving here out of state who's worried about the facts on the ground, or somebody, quite frankly, coming from a city or state where it is customary to have a lawyer where you buy or sell a house. Being from New York myself, I can tell you it is the custom there. It's the custom in Chicago. It's the custom actually in most big cities. People don't know that, to have a lawyer when you buy or sell a house. It's actually an anomaly in that in St. Louis, it's not. In some states like Massachusetts, it's mandated by law that you close an attorney office. And if you're doing that, you're definitely going to have your own attorney. And so because of that experience that I had, so people were already calling us. We already had business in the pipeline when we started. What we didn't have is we didn't have people exposed to the Home Sweet Legal brand and the Home Sweet Legal pricing and the ability to have your agent pay me instead of you paying your lawyer. That we didn't have. We didn't have exposure to that. So what we started doing when we launched in March, what we started doing was when people would email or call us and say, hey, I'm buying or selling a house. I feel like I want a lawyer helping me. We would send them an email that we developed. And my assistant, Andrea, would send out an email, and the email would indicate that we're happy to help them. Here are the things we can do for you. And here's a PDF of our fees. And by the way, if you want to save some money on this, you can go to our new website at Home Sweet Legal and sign up yourself.
Oh, nice.
And if you do that, we actually knocked a couple $100 off the price on some of the bigger packages and $100 off the price on some of the smaller packages. So people would have an incentive to start using the new site, sharing the new site with people, showing it to people. Hey, what do you, because we know what people do is they find a lawyer, they look on Google to see how many reviews there are, and then they send out to friends and say, hey, have you heard of these people? What do you think of this site? And we want it. We want that. That's what we want. We want people to share what we have with whomever they want. In fact, our site is set up so that right at the top of the screen, they can hit share and they can share it wherever they want to whomever they want.
Nice.
And so that's a way for us to, for the client, the potential client, to advertise for us. And so that is how we started. And we are now, I think because primarily SEO, we actually are now starting to get phone calls to the Home Sweet Legal phone number as opposed to the law firm phone number.
So I've got a couple more questions for you. You mentioned paid ads that you guys are thinking about doing those, I think in the spring when home buying kind of picks up a little bit. What platforms are you hoping to get on, and why?
You know, I think we're gonna start out with Facebook. I think that there's a way to do A/B testing with ads in Facebook that'll help us figure out what the right audience is and what the right ad is. That's affordable in our market. We're a little bit blessed and a little bit cursed. You know, if I was in New York and I launched this, so yeah, I mean, people already hire a lawyer. I just have to get the word out that me too. I also do this. I also, you know me, and you guys trust me, and you trust my law firm. We're also adding this service. You can hire us, and maybe that would be good. But also, that's not a blue ocean. That's a red ocean. You're fighting for a lot of business there, and you're going to have to reduce your cost, your price. And you're going to have a pretty sophisticated operation to compete in that market. We're in St. Louis, where people aren't already hiring lawyers to do this necessarily. And so we're blessed in that way that I can try things out. It's not incredibly expensive for me to advertise on Facebook what I want, because there's not a lot of people, you know, opting in with Facebook saying, hey, I would do this yet, and or saying this is what I'm interested in. So because of that, the ads are affordable right now. And so we can actually use this market to test things before we decide to expand to other markets in Illinois, Northern Illinois, where it's a little more customary, New York, where I'm also licensed in New York and Illinois. and try to expand this service.
So is your purpose, and maybe you haven't thought this out, is your purpose more for getting the word out, or is it to actually generate leads, or probably both?
I think the Facebook advertising is going to be to generate leads. Okay. I think for getting the word out, we're going to, sometime in January or February, we're probably going to start with the monthly e-newsletter that goes out. I think we're going to use that to try to get the word out, to keep us on people's minds. There's other things, you know, we can do as well. You know, we certainly could do some press releases, and we could, going on podcasts like this is certainly helpful, guys. So I appreciate it.
Sure.
And anything, whatever we can do. But I actually believe, you know, having had my own law firm for about 9 years now, I believe that the best way to generate clients and to close on new clients is to give superior service to the clients you have. I find that my best business is repeat business. And when I started out the firm, obviously I had a lot of new business, but I retained a lot of those clients. You know, and those clients, sometimes they only need me once every few years, but sometimes they need me every year. And I feel that in a commoditized business like this, where they're really only buying a house every once every 5 years, once every 10 years. So in a business like that, it's not just them. It's them. It's their family members, their kids, their parents who are downsizing. It's everyone they know. We had a recent doctor hire us for the second time. He hired us when he and his wife sold their house. And then his parents decided to downsize, and he came right back to us and hired us again for it.
Nice.
And both times he said, this was amazing. It was so easy. I signed up online in 5 minutes. He said, my mom signed up. She's 75 years old. My mom signed up in 5 minutes. You know, there was no money down. It was the easiest thing in the world. You know, he couldn't believe how simple it was. And that, I think, is its bestseller. It's simple. It's really protective. You know, I am an experienced real estate attorney. I've done this. I like doing this. This isn't the sort of thing that I'm doing only for the money. I like doing this. My own parents never owned a home. And I believe part of it was their fear of going through this process and not having the money for an attorney. And wondering, you know, what if it goes bad? We're going to go bankrupt? We're going to be on the street? I mean, that's a serious concern that a lot of people have, especially people in lower incomes. And so we've created a product that lower to middle income people can afford, because if they hire us before they hire their agent, it's 100% free.
I love that. I think it's a terrific strategy, and I like the idea of in January coming out with something that's more around, you know, getting your brand exposed prior to running something in the spring that's more of a lead generation. I think that's terrific. One other question I have for you was around blogging, and not so much why are you doing it, but more around the fact, around the question of where do you get your topic ideas?
So I actually come up with all the blog ideas.
Okay.
And all of the blog ideas are based on my home buying experience and the home buying and selling experiences of my clients. That when they're going through, I'm able to, you know, categorize their issues, their questions, their concerns into different areas. So for example, our most recent set of blog posts are called, you know, what 5 things should I research before buying a home? You know, and in that, you know, I just take, you know, look, there's a lot of things you can research before you buy a home, but there's a few things that I feel you really need to pay attention to. And if you're not doing these 5 things, then you might not be ready to buy a home. You know, one of them is, what can I actually afford to pay monthly? You know, it's if you don't figure out that ahead of time, if you only think, you know, what price house should I buy and not what can I afford to buy ahead of time. So when that lender ultimately sends you that estimate of what your monthly cost is going to be, so, you know, you might be pretty far down the line. You know, or when you get that closing document, that closing disclosure that says what your actual monthly cost is going to be, not just the property, but also your taxes and your insurance.
Right.
And now you also, by that point, have figured out what your maintenance is going to be annually. What's your, you know, what are your other costs involved, things you want to fix up because you're moving into a house and your spouse decided right before closing, hey, you know what? I think I'd like to redo this bathroom, you know, which happens all the time. And that's a normal thing. You want to make it your own home. And so if you don't know what you can afford to pay, you might wind up buying too much house and you might wind up in a lot of financial trouble because of that. Second thing is, how long of a commute do I want? You know, third thing, what neighborhoods have homes in the price range that I'm okay with? And I can narrow it down further because now I want to know what school district do I want to be in. Now, if you don't have kids yet and you're okay buying another house in a few years, it might not matter as much. But if you do and you want to think about that, so now you're narrowing it down not just by school district, but by school district that have homes that are both affordable and not too far away from your place of work. And then the last thing in this set of blog posts we're going to do are, you know, what are inspection and building regulations in the neighborhoods? These are things that people don't have anyone to rely upon. The agents don't know the answer. Your contractors, your building inspectors generally don't know the answer. You actually have to call the county or the city yourself and say, hey, you know, we're thinking about putting in a fence or a playset in the backyard. You know, do you have any regulations about those things? Because when you're buying a house, you kind of know what you want to do down the road in the next 5 to 10 years. You might not know 20 years down the road, but you know 5 to 10 years down the road. And if you don't know, and we had a client who had a subdivision restriction on putting playsets that were over 10 feet high in the backyard. Now, they had lived there for 10 years. Their kids were at an age where they felt they wanted a playset in the backyard. It was 15 feet high. They paid several thousand dollars to purchase it and have it installed. And then they got a letter from the subdivision saying, wow, remove it immediately. That's pretty scary. You know, we did the research for them and the subdivision was correct. They had to remove it. Now, they had to spend another several thousand dollars having it removed because it's anchored to the ground. You know, so these are the sort of things you can avoid. Fences are the most common thing we see. You know, just ask them ahead of time, what are the fence regulations? Because if you find out that the house, that the municipality or the subdivision that you want to buy in doesn't allow front yard fences, and that's very important to you, which is something that happens to come up. So you might not want to buy there. Or maybe they only allow slatted fences so people can see in and out of the property. They feel that's better for safety or that's more aesthetic. They don't like these wood fences where you can't see in. And you feel like you want privacy. So this is not going to be the right neighborhood for you. So these are things that can end a lot of heartache and really make your home buying experience better, smoother, and help you get the home you actually want, not the one you think you want.
Love it.
Mark, can you tell us some of the offline marketing efforts that are working for you right now?
You know, I would say that telling my existing clients about what we do is important. You know, whenever I meet with an existing client or whenever they leave my office, I like to mention to them and give them the Home Sweet Legal card and say, you know, we also offer residential services now. So if you or anybody you know is buying or selling a home, have them call us first because we might be able to save them some money and some heartache in the process. Also, you know, networking, I mean, the term is cliched. I don't do networking maybe in the traditional sense of it. I don't go to a lot of big networking events. I don't find that to be particularly effective for me because there's just so many people at those events. But when I do find someone who's in an industry or maybe they're in an HR department or something like that, and I want Home Sweet Legal to become an employee benefit, which it can be. We're working with a couple of places right now to make it an employee benefit so people can get an enhanced service for free if they're going through their employer. So those are the kind of people I try to meet in person, try to share them with them what I'm doing. And even if those always don't turn into business, those people almost always turn into great relationships and they turn into referral sources because they see what I'm doing, they see my sincerity, and they feel like they would hire me if they needed this. And that's a great referral. That's a great referral source right there. Someone who says, you know, I would hire them. And I think you should look at this too.
That's terrific. How much time a week do you think you spend specifically on marketing related tactics?
I think I probably spend a few hours a week on it. Every week varies, of course. You know, when the work is slower, I have more time to blog and put more blogs into the hopper to be released and more time to look at our Facebook profile and connect with people and LinkedIn and those sorts of things. In a slower week, I might only have an hour or so to devote to it. I try in every week to meet at least one person if I can. Sometimes it's someone coming to the office or sometimes that's me going out to a lunch meeting or a coffee meeting to meet with someone. I feel like that's an important hour to spend.
Or perhaps doing a podcast.
Or perhaps, right, doing a podcast. I think that, yeah, you guys might – it's the end of the year is pretty busy for us, so you guys might be it for this week. But yeah, I feel that every business needs to spend time on marketing. And although you might not always have the budget you have, and you might not always have the time that you'd like to have to devote to it, I think it's important. And even when I'm not out there marketing, I am reading about marketing. I actually have a great book right now that I'm reading called, I'll give him a little plug. There's an attorney I met from Syracuse, New York, named Anthony Maroney. He wrote a book called Social Media Marketing, The Social Media Marketing Blueprint for Lawyers. And I'm finding it very enjoyable. It's an easy read, and it breaks down social media pretty simply for an attorney who doesn't have a lot of time to get into things. And so even when I'm not doing the marketing, I'm trying to learn about it. I wasn't trained in this, obviously. And I think it's important for every small business owner to understand marketing, just like it's important for them to understand a little something about finance, you know, and a little something about communications, and a little something about client development, and just these little areas that you don't learn when you're being trained to do the thing that you want to do. But they, all these little things touch your business.
We'll make sure to add a link in the show notes for that.
Do you see any marketing trends or tactics other businesses are doing that you wish you could take advantage of?
Yeah, I wish I had the budget for billboards, because it creates a name recognition, a brand recognition. You know, I don't know that they're necessarily effective in actually bringing people in for a law firm. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Certainly we see in the personal injury area, law firms do it a lot. In other areas, we don't see as many law firms doing that. Maybe in bigger cities, I see bankruptcy, and sometimes we see traffic ticket, you know, billboards. In an area like this, we don't see it very much. But I do think that brand recognition is important. And I think if I could have a billboard out there that said, you know, Home Sweet Legal, don't buy a home without us, or something like that, something catchy like that. You know, or Home Sweet Legal, don't you want to know what you're signing before you buy that house? You know, I think it would ring in people's heads, and they would think about it before they, you know, before they hired their agent, or before they signed on the dotted line to make that purchase. They would think, you know, maybe for a little bit of money, I should have somebody look at this.
You know, I've got an interesting billboard story. I've kind of always been anti-billboard because it's somewhat of a shotgun approach. You know, eventually somebody will come by that maybe will see it, but they're terribly expensive. I've actually got an email maybe 2 weeks ago from one of the local chambers, and they have partnered up with one of the digital billboard companies to offer an opportunity to be on one of those, you know, in the rotating, the different things there, for $100 a month. So I'm going to have my brand out there, like you said, you know, in front of people. And it's not going to cost me a ton. And if it works, of course, you know, I'll renew and do it again.
Yeah, of course. And now, obviously, you're taking a hit on the traffic count, because only one every right. 10 cars is going to see you, as opposed to, you know, every car or whatever it is. But you're right. You know, something like that might be worth taking a shot at, you know, because it's cheaper. And we get those offers sometimes from either from a labor union or from a government employee magazine or newsletter or something. And they say, hey, look, you know, we know that you're not going to take out a $500 or $1,000 ad, but, you know, maybe we could feature you in every third issue or something like that, you know, and then we'll just charge you $100 a month. So we get those sometimes. Occasionally we've tried them. We haven't had a lot of success at it yet. So I'm you can hear my voice. I'm a little bit skeptical of those things. I tend to think that repetition and reputation are the two things that can help drive my business. Those are the things that have helped drive the Jacob Law Firm, and I'm praying that Home Sweet Legal will take off in the same way. That just letting people know over and over again what we do and doing it really, really well, so they're really happy with it.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that drives the business.
Mark, are there any things that your competitors are doing right now that you think is cool or uncool?
Question is, do we have competitors? You know, I mentioned Blue Ocean Strategy, right? Blue Ocean Strategy is take something nobody's really doing and start doing it, and offer it and move into the marketplace where there is nobody. So we have competitors and we don't. You know, obviously law firms are somewhat of a competitor. I think real estate agents see us as somewhat of a competitor because in the St. Louis market, they're used to doing this without lawyers. So they might see us as somewhat of a competitor, though we're not really. I think some of the things I see them do that I don't like are, I see ads that I consider to be misleading. I'm not saying that they're legally misleading, or I don't know what the legal definition of where the line is. It's puffery. It's advertising puffery. It's not something I'm comfortable with. But for example, I have an ad actually on my computer that motivates me. It's a real estate agent ad, and it said, "It's a great time to buy or sell." And every time I look at it, I say, it's not possible to be both a good time to buy and sell.
Right.
It's either a good time to buy or it's a good time to sell. But you can't have a buyer's market and a seller's market. So why are you lying to people? And why don't they know about me so I can show them the truth? Right. So it's that sort of thing that I don't like. I feel that doesn't do a service to the public. I do feel, you know, I am a licensed attorney. I do feel that I'm an officer of the court. You know, I don't really go to court, but I do have some duty to the public. We do a lot of pro bono work here in the office, even though we only have one attorney. I am a founding signatory to the St. Louis Pro Bono Challenge, which sets a minimum number of pro bono hours per attorney at a law firm. It's a product of the local bar association and Legal Services of Eastern Missouri. They did a joint effort to do this, and we consistently report pro bono hours every quarter. We're one of only a handful of firms. There might be 20 or 25 in the city that do this. We are maybe there's only one other solo practice I think that does it. So we are committed to the public and to helping them. I sit on the St. Louis Housing Task Force, which is a nonprofit committee organized by the Urban League of St. Louis. We are a law firm that is committed to helping people, and it doesn't pay me anything to help people, but I feel that it's my duty as an attorney. I feel that my background, you know, growing up in a, you know, working class neighborhood, I feel that it's a way to give back to communities that helped me get where I am today, and I think it's the right thing to do. And so, I think it's interesting because sometimes people who are struggling in business, just because I do some business law also, some people who are struggling in business sometimes ask me what they can do better. And my answer is often maybe counterintuitive to them. I often ask them, you know, what do you volunteer for? You know, and maybe it's a religious organization, maybe it's a community organization, maybe it's a government committee of something. And sometimes it's nothing. And so if it's nothing, I sometimes ask, you know, have you ever considered volunteering? And they say, well, Mark, I don't have time for that. I need to make money. And so what I often say to them is, and again, I think it's counterintuitive, but I think in my life it's proven true, is that if you really care about something, so much so that you're willing to work for it and help people and not get paid, then the people who are volunteering with you and running those organizations will see you as a person who is helpful, who's knowledgeable, who knows how to get things done, who knows how to solve problems, and is passionate about something. And those are all the types of things that people want when they're hiring somebody for anything. So although you're not doing it to get business, it will bring you business. It's the right thing to do to volunteer. You should do it for that reason, but it's not going to hurt your business. In fact, I think it's going to help your business, and I think it's going to help you be better for your clients and your customers. So you're going to be a better person, and that's good for them too. And so that's just a little bit of advice I like to give everyone, and often to myself as well, when I feel like I'm crunched for time, that I need to do more because there are a lot of people out there that need help.
So Mark, can you tell me what has been your biggest challenge landing customers?
I think because we're in St. Louis, the biggest challenge has been the question, why do I need this? Or the thought that's in people's head that I don't need this, or even I would say the lack of thought about it. Because you can look everywhere and see a real estate agent sign in a yard, an advertisement at the grocery store, or in a newspaper, or a periodical, or online, or get bombarded with ads on any sort of website you go to that has to do about home buying. And you're not going to see that here, because it's just not customary for people here to use a lawyer when they buy or sell a house. And so that has been a challenge. That will continue to be a challenge. I think that with the email newsletter, I think that with the Facebook ads that will start next year, I think some of that will dissipate, because the people who have used this give us tremendous reviews. They love it. They tell their parents, their kids, their friends about it. Everybody sees the value in this who does it. But if you haven't done it before, it doesn't seem like the sort of thing you'd want to pay for. Why do I want to pay for something no one else is paying for? Well, you know, that's what people said about Netflix, I guess, right? But it's a little easier in the entertainment industry than it is in the legal industry, because nobody wants a lawyer, right? Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I should get a lawyer. That sounds like a great thing to do. You know, people want to spend time with their families. They want entertainment. They want to do things they like to do. Lawyers are maybe a necessary evil at best sometimes. And what I like to tell people is that, you know, it's true. You know, if you had your choice, you'd rather live in a world where you didn't need my help, right? But you also would rather live in a world and in a city like St. Louis where you didn't need hospitals. But if you're going to live in a city and you know that bad things happen to people, unfortunately, and people get hurt and people get sick, wouldn't you rather live in a place that has world-class hospitals?
Makes sense.
Because things happen. And so if you're going to buy a house, and if you're not going to buy a house, you're not going to buy anything, you're not going to do anything, you know, you're never going to sign a contract your whole life. So, okay, you probably don't need me. But if you want to do business, if you want to buy a house, if you want to make money, if you want to enter into employment contracts, anything that you want to do, you're going to be signing something you don't want to sign because you don't know what it says. If you're going to act in the world and have an impact in the world and be a player in the world and improve your life, so isn't it great to know that there's a lawyer out there you can afford and you might even be free?
That's terrific. Mark, what was your worst marketing idea, the one that almost sunk your ship?
I have not sunk a lot of money into marketing, but I've had a lot of bad marketing ideas.
Fair enough.
So I'll tell you about one that I'm not even sure if it's, I think it's really bad. Okay. I have an ethics attorney and I haven't got the word back on whether it's legal or not to do this. So, but I think it's a bad idea and I wouldn't want to do it myself. But here's the idea I have that could sink my ship if I actually did it.
Okay.
So my idea is to be the Edward Jones of law firms and knock on people's doors. That's my idea.
Okay.
Because Edward Jones, okay, they train their young associates by going out and knocking on people's doors. And apparently they actually get clients that way, which is amazing to me. I think it's an incredible idea that you can knock on someone's door and say, hey, do you have a financial plan or anything you want to save for? And you're looking for a way to do that. And somebody would say, yeah, kid who knows nothing and is just knocking on people's doors. Sure. Will you help me? That's amazing to me. That's incredible to me that works. And I give them incredible credit for it. So the idea I had was to do that. There's a ton of young associates at a law school who don't have jobs right now, and to take one of them and train them in residential real estate law, which is not incredibly complicated for a trained attorney to learn about, and to just have them go knock on doors for people and say, hey, you know, I don't know if you're thinking about buying or selling your house, but if you are, here's what we can do for you. And by the way, it won't cost you a penny. So before you call that agent, call us first because we'll save you a lot of time and money.
That's funny.
And so that's my idea. I sent it to my ethics attorney. He's sitting on it. I think he laughs when he gets these emails from me, and kind of waits for me to follow up to see if I'm really serious or if I just have another crazy idea. But I'm glad you reminded me because I am going to follow up with him. And I do want to do it. I do think there's, why not hire a kid to go out there and knock on doors. He knows enough about real estate buying and selling to talk the talk, get people signed up and teach him how to develop a client and, you know, teach him or her how to develop their own business. And I think that that could completely sink me if the market hates it. So you know, that's just so the whole world out there knows, that's what Crazy Mark Jacob was thinking about. Attorneys have a lot of strict rules about advertising. You know, in Missouri especially, I have to have an advertising disclaimer and everything that goes out, which is very cumbersome. Before I forget, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be made solely based on advertisements. So we have a lot of restrictions on what we can do. So for example, I can't directly solicit somebody that I know to need legal services. So if I meet you or I'm at a party with you and I never met you before, you know, and you or even casually, if I'm standing in line at Department of Motor Vehicles with you, you know, and I hear you on the phone saying, I just got sued. Can you believe it? Now I have to go out and find an attorney, right? I can't give you my card and say, hey, I'm an attorney. Right, that's a direct solicitation. That's considered overreaching to a public that can be taken advantage of by an attorney. I can't do that. You know, I can reach out to friends and family, to perhaps people that I know in a business context. You know, I can reach out to a little more. But if I don't know that you need legal services, I have some looser restrictions on me. I still have restrictions, but they're a little looser. And so that would be this context. I don't know that you need a lawyer. You may not need anybody, but I want to knock on your door and see if you do. And if you think I'm crazy for doing that, great. At least you remember my name, Home Sweet Legal. And when you hear it on the radio 3 years later, you won't remember that somebody knocked on your door. You'll just remember the names.
If money were no object, what is the craziest marketing stunt you'd like to launch?
I saw a guy do a crazy commercial. And I don't know what the equivalent is in my world, but he did. He's in Texas. I don't remember what city, and he's called the Texas Law Hawk. Have you seen this guy?
No.
And he's really awesome and funny. He's a criminal defense attorney, and he goes on the screen and he's draped in an American flag, and he yells out, "Texas Law Hawk!" And this hawk like squawks, goes flies across the screen, and there's a picture of a close up on him, and he goes, "Talons of Justice." Right? And I thought to myself, that guy's nuts, you know. But wow, he really has gotten my attention, and he probably doesn't get a lot of clients from this, but he probably gets his name known, right? And getting your name known is what gets you clients.
Well, here we are talking about him.
Here we are talking about. So I guess my equivalent of that, you know, although not as quite as crazy as that, I think would be a television commercial that shows what can go wrong if you try to buy a house and you don't have proper legal help. And this is, you know, there's two real ways to market, and the one way is the comforting, you know, we're here to protect you, we make you feel good, we're like an insurance company, that kind of thing. And the other way are the horror stories and the scare stories. I don't like the horror stories and the scare stories, and I'm not sure I have the guts to pull it off in a commercial or anything like that. But if money was no object and I was willing to do the craziest thing I could do, I think the scare stories are really scary. And there, a lot of them are former clients of mine who came to me because of things. You know, just one example is that, you know, the standard real estate association contract over here in St. Louis used to have a provision saying that the seller had to get a passing liquid gas inspection prior to the buyer being obligated to buy the house, you know? And then there was a provision that if you can't get that, you can have a licensed contractor give you an inspection, something like that, right? So we always took the position that you want only the gas company. Now it's called Spire, but only the gas company to do it. Why? The reason is that they are the ones who come in after you buy the home and determine if you can get gas service or not. Right? They have to see if they think there's any leaks, if they think it's dangerous. So shortly after this document changed, it used to say that. It doesn't say that anymore. It changed about 2 years ago. Shortly after the document changed, we started getting some calls from people. We got about two or three a year, I'd say, from people who move into their house, and then the gas company tells them to move right back out.
Oh, no.
Because this is dangerous, and you can't live here. And by the way, according to our own assessment, it's going to cost you about $3,000, $4,000 to fix the problem. There's a gas leak here. You know, and maybe you couldn't have smelled it because it was in the walls, but we can sense it, you know, and you can't live here. It's dangerous. And so what do you do if you're a first-time home buyer, or even not a first-time home buyer? You're a home buyer. You have sold your other house or moved out of your apartment. You move all your stuff in. You call the gas company to change service over. They say, you know, we got to do a retail inspection. You say, fine, what's it cost? Now you have to pay for it instead of the seller, $50 or whatever it costs. They come in and they say, I'm sorry, sir, move out. You know, and you just spent your life savings. You're a young person. You're a first-time home buyer maybe. You spent everything you had on the down payments. You have nothing.
Right.
You can't live in your house. We were getting 2-3 calls a year. We're still getting them. 2-3 times a year from people, because this is not in the contract anymore. And there are some agents who I think are really good about telling people, you know, you should get it, maybe even make them pay for it. But I think that, you know, that's not really their job. It's nice if they do it. I think it's great if they do it, but it's not really their job. And it is mine, you know, to protect you and to make sure that something that might not otherwise be in that quote unquote standard contract, if it's not in there, that we put it in there.
Well, thanks, Mark. I appreciate you being on here today. So if people want to find more about your business, or perhaps they're thinking about selling a home and would like to reach out to you, how could they do so?
You know, all you have to do is go to www.homesweetlegal.com. You can click on the box that says free legal services, and you can see if you qualify for the free service. You can watch our explainer video, which is really neat and just explains what we can do for you. And if you're a for sale by owner and the free service is not going to apply to you because no agents are involved, so you can just click on pricing at the top of the screen. You can see what our flat fees are, and you can sign up all by yourself. As soon as you sign up, we'll let you know that we got your stuff and you're all good to go. And, you know, we just want to help. And if you're interested in this, we are happy to reach out to us with any questions you have. And thank you guys so much for having me on here today. I enjoy being on Sink or Swim. I'm glad we got to do this, and I appreciate you helping spread the word.
Yeah, I appreciate you jumping on today. We've learned a lot of good stuff, and we'll make sure to put your link in the show notes along with everything else as well.
You've been listening to the Sink or Swim podcast, where business owners share their marketing successes and failures. Please leave us a review on iTunes and get all of our show notes at redcanoemedia.com/SOS.